Welcome to the Classy Ring Guitar Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. So I feel like not a lot happened on Raw or SmackDown this week.
No. Let me just say this, just as a general complaint about SmackDown and this tournament that they're doing for the United States Championship that's going to end at Royal Rumble.
Right.
If they were going to draw it out this long, I would have made that tournament bigger.
Yeah.
Because what they started with eight men, so it started with four matches.
Mm-hmm.
I would have expanded that. Like, maybe double it. That way you have interesting, like, more than one match for that tournament per week, you know?
Okay.
And it would be a way to incorporate some of these guys that are just kind of, like, treading water until Rumble. It would give, like, Nakamura and Randy Orton something to do rather than just be Shane's avatars.
Right.
You know?
I agree with you to an extent.
Okay.
I feel like part of the flaw in that is the more people you have in there, the more people you have to have lose.
Yeah, I guess.
And I get the worry of, like, oh man, Nakamura can't even make it to the United States Championship.
Well, I mean, that's when you, like, start some shenanigans and, like,
right.
You know,
and I get that.
Yeah.
Because
we forget, like, Nakamura had been involved in, like, all the KO and Sammy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of have that carry over and them just come out and be jerks.
But, and part of it is,
there's ways out of it.
I'm just we're in this weird shuffle mode of how much does each belt count anymore?
Mm-hmm.
But with the, you know, WWE title, the most important title, having moved over to SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And so that was like instantly, oh, that's not important. Please ignore all of history. And this new Universal title is the big important one that everybody wants.
Yeah.
Except it's not been on the show for a year, basically, save for random appearances.
Yeah.
So Roman has the Intercontinental title, which is like, you know, oh, so you care about the Intercontinental title? But it's like, oh, kind of, until this one comes back at WrestleMania. And so then the United States is like, okay, so what does it matter? And so mid-card belts are tricky. They just are.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, like, oh, it should be exactly this level of prestige, because that's hard and that fluctuates. But I feel like there should be some level of prestige. And I feel like they're trying to do that with the tournament. And I respect the attempt at trying to do it.
Sure.
And I would be okay with one match a week if that match almost uniformly without fail ended the show. That was the main event every week. You gave them 15 to 20 minutes.
Rather than give us another tag team of the same group of four or five guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like you do something like that and that builds each of those guys who's going to last. I mean, even if you're out in the first round, you get 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes to close out the show.
Right.
To really see if you can connect with something. You get some good back and forth. And I feel like you can throw almost two people together and they're capable of, oh, what's it going to be? Especially when you don't have the painfully obvious meta background of, like, well, I know it's Roman because it's always Roman and t-shirts and he looks nice on a poster.
Yeah.
You don't have that for this United States title.
No, you don't have a clear-cut person they're going to push. The only thing that you can really kind of go off of is assume that Dolph is going to come back at some point and feud with whoever wins this. So you would assume probably a face to feud, unless they're doubling down on this Jinder Mahal thing.
Well, and see, even if you assume a face, you'd be like, well, Dolph's been gone for a while. It's easy to push him as a face if he comes back, when he comes back.
Yeah.
And at the same time,
it'll be easier for him to come back as a heel as long as you got that record scratch.
It is. Well, and at the same time, it's easy for anybody to turn face or heel in this tournament.
Yeah.
But the last time you can point to this Universal title really being over as a title, as a prestigious title, is either Rusev or the John Cena Open Challenge.
Yeah.
And the thing, the reason that that worked was those matches were all good. Some were better than others, and you can argue
and at
that
least
all day long.
You look forward to, like, as far as John Cena's, his reign, you look forward to
who was
being surprised.
Be?
Yeah. And then you're riding that high on being surprised that, like, oh, this match is actually pretty good as well.
And it did a great boost of each of these guys got a 15, 20-minute match with John Cena. Like, John Cena didn't squash anybody that whole time. I'm not going to double down on that because I wasn't willing to bet there might have been a time or two when John Cena was actually in a story feud.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, we got to keep the open challenge. And
I think the second week he faced Stardust, that might have been the closest we got to a squash. And even I don't think it was.
I feel like he might have, like, squashed some Ellsworth-level person, like, 3 weeks in, 3 months into it, where it's like, well, we got to keep this going because he says he's going to open challenge every week. But John Cena's really in a mic feud with somebody else at this point. So that's the real John Cena segment, but we got to do this one quickly, technically. And
might have been
quick.
A Heath Slater at some point.
Yeah, something like that. But for the most part, it's these guys getting 15 minutes with John Cena to really show what they can do. Everybody, almost uniformly, everybody came out looking good.
Yeah.
And so I would do something like that. I don't mind the once a week. If you really,
if they really
lean
put
into
it, yeah.
This is for a title. Mm-hmm. This is your shot. This is the brass ring we won't shut up about. These are your steps to, you know, grab it. We've built the ladder for you.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, how do you think this is going to shake out as far as like who, what? Because next you've got the, I guess, semifinals. Yeah. You got Jinder Mahal and Xavier Woods on one end, and on the other, you've got Bobby Roode and Mojo. I'm assuming they're probably going to want to push Mojo.
That sounds so dumb.
It does. It really does, unless they want to, like, put some momentum behind Bobby.
I mean, like...
And if they would decide to go with Bobby, then obviously they're probably going to go with Jinder on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
But how great would it be if Xavier Woods was in the finals and, like, got his own, like, main... or his own singles, you know, match on a pay-per-view...
Yeah.
Outside of New Day. And it would give New Day something to focus on for the next little while, you know?
I mean, and you also... You obviously have to acknowledge, like, oh, this is also at the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Does being in this match disqualify you for the Rumble? And we know that technically...
It doesn't. Because
it doesn't.
Because Roman was in the championship last year.
Right.
And he was in the Rumble.
Right. But... If we're talking about, like, worrying about overexposure, is Bobby Roode or Jinder Mahal going to get two moments at the Rumble?
Yeah.
At a Rumble that we're having two Rumbles at. So, like, it's going to be a... Of course, they're going to obviously just add 3 hours onto either end.
Probably.
Because that's the new tactic.
Yeah. I mean, they could just leave it the same amount of time and just bookend the beginning and the end of... beginning and end of the show with Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And then have a couple matches in between. It's not, you know, it's not that difficult. I see, ultimately, like, it comes down to whichever person's going to feud with Dolph. You know? And we already got a Dolph and Bobby Roode feud, like, a couple months ago, and we really don't need to revisit it.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's more interesting with Xavier Woods, you know? Almost feels like a fresh face, even though we know he's been around since, you know, forever.
Mm-hmm.
But it would still be pretty fresh and something to keep everybody's interest for a while.
Well, Xavier Woods hasn't done anything that's not the New Day other than very, very briefly when he first debuted.
And then did nothing for a really long time when they were developing New Day.
Yeah.
I think it would be much more interesting if Xavier, you know, but for some reason I don't see WWE being able to say no to Jinder.
I don't know.
Which is something weird. It's just a really weird thing that I wouldn't, that's a sentence I didn't think I would be saying a year, you know, ago.
Honestly, my thing with Jinder is he better now than he was 6 months ago?
No.
Like, is he better in the ring? Is he better on the mic? Is he drawing more fans?
Mm-mm.
Is he even drawing more ire and you know, anger the way a heel is supposed to.
I think, I don't know, he's a guy that I feel like WWE has something in mind during the Royal Rumble match. Not to win or anything, but...
Mm-hmm. But a spot.
But a spot. So I'm tempted to say... That's why I'm tempted to say Xavier, because you can have Xavier being that and then have Kofi and Big E be in the Rumble, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to... I try and refrain from crapping too hard on Jinder Mahal because... Of, you know, I appreciate the concept. This jobber character who got a genuine shot, you know, came out of nowhere. It was a shocker. It was a, okay, let's see what's happening. I like that, you know, everybody says, just give me a chance. And I like that idea that, oh, they genuinely...
They actually gave somebody a chance. Mm-hmm. See, I like that in theory, but what we got...
I know.
But what we got was some racist... BS.
And I was also right there being like, every week, take the belt off him. Dang it. Just surprise match. Take it now. This is the moment.
Yeah. And eventually that's what they did.
It is. And I don't want, it's a little bit like, I don't want to scare them away. Like they ventured out into the sunlight just a little bit.
You don't
want
to slow them too heavily because it might cause them to not take chances like that on lesser, on guys that they see, view as lesser. Kind of, again, bring this ball back to our conversation last week about Last Jedi. You know, we don't want all the critics to be so heavy-handed that the studio...
That was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
Yes, it was.
Well, I posted it finally on YouTube last week, so that's why it's fresh. But, you know, like, the critics of the movie were so heavy-handed for, like, what we think is BS reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid that the studio is going to listen too much to those loud, like, the loud... minority there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't know if they're going to take those chances again.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I feel like you're saying now with WWE. And I had that same worry too. But man, I'll have Jinder be off in his corner for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all need some time
away
from him.
I do not know. In this day and age where you show me 5 hours of main television a week, and we've done the math, and you can easily get up to 11 hours of all original content every week. I don't know if you can give me the same story for 6 months for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a few notable exceptions because, you know, I can point to be like, okay, New Day was entertaining throughout their entire year-long title run.
Yeah.
But they also wrestled several different people. There's also 3 of them. There's a lot more you can do with that.
Yeah.
Somebody like Jinder Mahal, I don't know.
The focus is all on him, and I don't know if he can handle it.
I don't know if you can take anybody and be like, do the exact same character feud, setup, storyline, situation for 6 months straight, go.
Yeah.
And not be like, all right, I'm getting bored of this.
Yeah, because even when Punk did his long reign, he, you know, he definitely wasn't the same at the end of it as he was at the beginning.
No.
You know, and I feel like that's important if you're going to have something last or a character last, you know, a certain
part of it is also there was never the good times to look back on with Jinder. There wasn't like, but remember when he was feuding with da-da-da-da? He never clicked with anybody.
Nah, you're wrong. 3MB was magic.
No. I mean his title run.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
I'm not disagreeing at all.
Okay.
No, I'm saying
I thought you're looking like over his entire career. Okay.
No.
I see what you're saying.
I'm saying there's no point because there are things where I'm like, oh, this has gone too long. I wish they would go back and feud with person.
I like the only moment that I enjoyed was this when he celebrated after he won. Originally, I thought he did very well. Like, the overall presentation was fantastic, and it made me optimistic about it for a split moment.
Again,
split second. Yeah,
I like that it happened. I was there with you in the beginning when the world was full of possibilities with what they
could
be
doing.
I don't
remember what happened, but I was pretty much nope. The very next week, no, thank you. No, we're done.
Yeah. But I do feel like we're in this kind of holding pattern, and it feels like we've been there for a while.
Yeah.
And it,
so a lot of it is just getting through the holidays and just getting, like, even the last pay-per-view, I even forgot what it was.
Clash of Champions.
Clash of Champions. It felt like it was just...
It felt like they had to do a December one, so right. Here it is.
It felt more of like an obligation than, you know, an opportunity to showcase anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it feels like we've been in something of a holding pattern since Survivor Series, really. Yeah,
you're not wrong.
And, like, theoretically, we're close to the light at the end of the tunnel with Royal Rumble.
Also,
some of it, I think, like, is going to be like, oh, we're holding off for the Raw 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
But we don't know what's happening there, yeah. Right? Like, we know some names.
Yeah, and it's the go-home show for Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
So, we know we're getting at least 5 hours of content.
Yes.
3 hours of our the usual regular schedule Raw. I'm guessing the other two is just, like, the stuff they're going to do at the Manhattan Center that's going to air on the network, like, at the same time?
I don't know.
Or maybe it's, like, pre-show.
I'm assuming
like, a two-hour...
Yeah, I'm assuming it's a two-hour pre-show, maybe
an hour
on either. I can't imagine that they're going to start at 11 and be like, stay hyped, everybody. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 hours in the main at Barclay and then 2 hours in the Manhattan Center probably beforehand.
I feel like I'm in the minority reading the reaction to this. I am perfectly fine for them to say this merits a 5-hour
Sure, because
show.
You're going to have, you already saw like the mountain of special appearances that are going to be made. It would be really hard to jam-pack all of that into a 3-hour episode of Raw.
Yeah.
5 hours is a little bit more manageable, but at the same time, you're going to have to make sure that you do something interesting with the vast majority of those special appearances.
Yeah.
You know? And not just a, hi, how's it going, and then walk away.
Well, that's the thing, is you're going to really run the risk of if I'm interested in that guy or not.
Sure. Like a Johnny Ace, they're saying, they're hyping his appearance, and I'm like, effing why? He could just show up, and we're like, oh, it's that guy. Wave, walk away, the end, and I'm okay with it. that's as much charisma as that dude has.
Oh, and that's the thing, like, that will turn me off.
Yeah.
I don't need 400, remember when I was on Raw?
Yeah.
And part of it is, again, like, I don't know if when the Raw 1000, which is the closest thing we can compare to right now, when Raw 1000 was
which
happening.
Which I really enjoyed, by the way.
I did enjoy. Yeah. But John Cena won the Money in the Bank a little bit before that and said, like, I'm cashing in right here. So we
main event of Raw 1000.
Yeah, we had this important thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
Was this, you know, title match. And it was Cena and Punk.
Yeah.
And so, like, oh, that's something I look forward to. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I don't... There's...
You got Big Show interfering.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Rock coming to save the day, and then Punk turning heel.
Yes. But we had something exciting going into it beyond
sure.
a list of guest appearances.
Right. Yeah, and that... You had the Dana Bryan AJ Lee wedding.
Yes, that was that
with
episode too.
With Slick as their reverend. That was fun.
Nice to have that. But we don't have any of that. We don't have
no specific
and
situation. Like, well, they have they do have the Intercontinental Championship match with Miz and Roman.
Oh yeah, they do.
They're hyping that for. I mean, that's probably as big as you can get right now without Brock putting the title on the line, which they're not going to do.
No, not at all.
But you can, you know, you don't have an intercontinental championship match at Rumble, so why not use it for your big Raw episode? Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it, but I feel like I'm looking forward to it out of the fact that I'm supposed to look forward to it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even, when they say, you know, this person's coming back, I haven't gotten anybody from like, oh yeah, oh boy, it's a lot of like, yeah, I expected that.
Yeah, like those are the same people that show up for like every Raw special anniversary milestone.
Yeah.
Like, of course Undertaker's going to show up. Of course Shawn Michaels is going to, well, they're saying DX is showing up. Ooh.
Who could that be?
Ugh. So you're going to get the usual stuff from a lot of those. I don't know. We'll see. Also, SmackDown 1000 is coming up this year. I forget exactly when, but it's coming up at some point this year. I want to see if they roll out the, you know, all the
even just a little bit, guys. Like,
yeah, if it, they try, you know, a little bit to make SmackDown
honestly,
still feel special.
They need to have The Rock on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's the one thing where I'm like,
it's a show made off of his catchphrase.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has to be there.
Like, that's the one thing I want out of SmackDown 1000.
We're going to get Rock via satellite, aren't we? For Raw.
Oh, yeah.
For Raw 25. Yeah.
It's a very good chance we're going to get
Rock satellite.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that would be fantastic. Do you think there's any surprises happening at 25 that they're not, obviously not, you know?
This gets in a little bit to, like, rumors that are going around.
Yeah.
Part of it is like, okay, if The Undertaker is showing up.
Well, yeah, which they've already said he was.
They have.
Yeah.
What is The Undertaker there to do?
Yeah.
He doesn't... Ever since he... I would say ever since he beat Shawn Michaels for the second time.
Yeah.
That was the last time he was in the ring full time enough to kind of have promos against a guy.
Yeah.
So he's had plenty of feuds since then with Brock and with Punk and with Triple H twice. But he's felt much more distant and mystic and aloof. He's kind of leaned into the, like, you know, he is still the, you know, soul wizard, speaking in riddles, and, you know, there's a lot more, I will, you know, reap your soul and send you to hell versus I'm gonna beat you up. He isn't that character anymore. He isn't the American Badass character, that I'm gonna beat you up character.
Yeah.
So saying all that, if he comes up, that I will reap your soul thing isn't really a, I will reap your soul and congratulations on 25 years.
Yeah.
And I look back fondly on my time.
Also, he better be wearing a different jacket and a different hat.
Because he left those at WrestleMania.
Because that, we're supposed to believe that's still sitting in Orlando. In the camping world.
But he's
stadium.
Not, he's not going to come out as Mark, clearly.
No.
I assume. And...
If he shows up on a motorcycle, I will just applaud.
I hope he shows up. Like, that is my forever hope now. It's like,
especially, again, now he left his clothes in the middle of the ring at the end of WrestleMania. So
all he's got left is that character.
So unless he just comes out in his, like, singlet and pants.
Would you be okay with the hood, the Ministry of Darkness hood?
Because it's a different jacket, yes.
Since it's still technically in his closet.
If he comes out in his Super Shredder robe, then... fine.
His purple gloves.
He's got, like, ton of robes to choose from.
Yeah.
You know? But I am going to go back and rewatch the main event of this past WrestleMania and take very good notice on the exact jacket and hat that he's wearing. And if he's wearing the same one, like, I'm okay with, like, him wearing, like, the black hat with, like, the red that he wore for WrestleMania 30 whenever he got beat. I'm okay with him wearing that. And I think the jacket has some red in it, too. Wear that stuff.
You don't think there might be two hats that look similar out there? He could be wearing different hat.
Sure, whatever. You're not wrong. But why risk it? Why wear one that's even remotely close to it? Plus, I kind of like the one with the red.
Oh, now you've got yourself all invested in it.
I mean, it's an opinion I've had for a while. I just never had a chance to vocalize it.
Okay.
Because after WrestleMania 30... we weren't talking about his attire.
You were busy, like, making notes while we were watching it.
Or just how weird his facial hair made him look that night.
Yeah.
That always weirded me out.
Anyway,
quick side note.
Okay.
How are we supposed to feel about this, like, the main story in SmackDown right now? Are we supposed to not be behind Daniel Bryan and his clear favoritism with KO and Sami Zayn? Are we supposed to be on Shane's side, who is being irrational about everything? Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what they're expecting the fans, like, whether they're expecting the fans to lie on this.
I don't know.
You know? It's really confusing about what they're going for.
It is, and part of the reason I feel like it's so confusing is... I don't know what they're going to do with Daniel Bryan.
Right. And I feel like any allusion to him being something that he isn't currently, it feels like it's a waste of time if they don't do something with it.
Yeah.
If the, it just the whole Miz thing and now this and him actually taking, you know, a little bit of a bump as a ref, mm-hmm. and actually being in the ring now, like, it feels like A, they're wasting our time, or B, purposely toying with us, so kind of both.
But I can almost see it's just stupid enough to be like WWE thought process.
Yeah.
Is he is not going to be wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
They know he's leaving in October, so they're going to make us not like him, so we won't care when he shows up in New Japan in October.
When he shows up to Cody's All In event that's happening September 1st. They announced the date.
Okay.
Yeah. And apparently it's going to be called All In, which, fitting.
Yeah, that's not bad.
They still haven't said where, but yeah, he's absolutely, well, I don't know, is his contract up in October?
I thought it was October.
So maybe he might not be as part of All In. But still, WWE can do whatever they want to him.
Yeah, no.
He will have a monumental following to wherever he goes after WWE.
Again, the stupid enough that I could see it being pitched.
Sure.
Process.
That's them believing more into their own product than they probably should.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole thing is just confusing. So yeah.
We do have,
yes,
to make up for the lack of in-ring content that they've given us this week,
we do have some interesting news.
Yes. And okay, before we get to this interesting news,
mm-hmm.
I want to bring up something. Several weeks ago, Chris brought up a really stupid, far-fetched rumor on the podcast.
Uh-huh.
And he just kept going on and on about it.
Uh-huh.
And I sat here this whole time, and I'll be up front. I was sitting there, I was like, he's going to make it sound so dumb.
Uh-huh.
He's just harping on this. He won't shut up. It's such a stupid idea. Do I cut it out? And uh-huh. he kept going. I was like, the longer he talks, the less likely it is I can edit it out. Nobody uh-huh. ever has to hear this. He's talking about this random
And Joel
dude.
Acts like Chris doesn't already know this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Chris didn't do this on purpose.
He's talking about this random dude on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That was like,
well, I was up front about it and be like, this guy could be a total joke.
But like, when you set that up, I'm like, then why are you bringing it up? I found a guy on Twitter that thinks the moon could eat people. Like, Twitter's full of crazies. Why are we talking to this guy? We're talking about XFL coming back.
Right.
And
or at least Vince being interested in starting an alternate football league.
Right.
Yeah.
And
since then.
And so, like, a few days after that, completely blew up. Everybody was covering that this was, you know, a real possibility.
Because even when I originally brought that up, I had forgotten that Vince had already trademarked, like, XFL, like, 6 months before that.
Mm-hmm.
He had already done it, and it completely, like, just escaped my mind that he'd already done that.
So, with all that seeming to move forward, and we mm-hmm. don't know how much it's moving forward, where it's moving forward, it's still very much in the dark.
We know his new company, Alpha Entertainment.
We know Alpha Entertainment. That's the
knew
end
that.
Of it.
We also know he's filed for trademarking UFL.
Yeah. But my question is, this random dude on Twitter clearly had a genuine scoop. Like,
yeah.
So
I need to go back to his Twitter.
Who is that?
Because yeah,
When we get these guys every now and then, like Mets fan and Falcon Arrow,
yeah,
I know their names. I know Mets fan and Falcon Arrow.
And this guy, he doesn't appear to be hiding behind any sort of, you know, Reddit name or anything. It was just his Twitter, and I believe he's a blog type journalist.
Yeah,
mostly does like occasionally do like wrestling stuff here and there, but he's kind of like a jack of all trades for this mm-hmm. this particular blog.
But how is he not like front and center, like, being kind of like, what else do you know?
Yeah, because I mean, he'd also said, like, listed, like, in detail, like, everyone who's going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame this next year. And so I guess we'll gradually find out
how right he was.
Yeah, he also said that for us to expect an announcement about whatever Vince McMahon is doing with his football thing, he said, like, late January.
Yeah.
So we'll find out sooner enough, or if, you know, all of this hype has caused it, you know, that date to change.
Maybe, I don't know.
But I feel it's crazy that this guy isn't on every wrestling dirt sheet in the world.
Yeah, or he's being hit up for, like, more info, his credibility.
Yeah.
You know, any of that stuff, because that's the kind of scoop that, you know, even to this day, Meltzer is probably just drooling over.
Yeah. But that being said, to lead into other
business
things, there's apparently a rumor.
And stop. Do not pause this podcast. Do not skip this podcast. This stuff is interesting. How dare you?
There is apparently a rumor that Fox.
Yes.
Fox, the channel, may be interested in not only A, airing WWE programming, but B, purchasing WWE
and
outright.
Triple H has had meetings a few months ago, preliminary meetings, a few months ago with the heads of Fox Sports.
Yes.
So, I mean, and it's around that time where their contract with Universal is coming up.
Right.
And
so they have to either re-up or...
Re-up or go elsewhere. In the past few times, it's been just only Universal.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting, you know, some other names popping in.
Yes.
Mainly Fox. There's an article, and here's basically the bullet points. Fox is gearing up to go after WWE hard if they lose UFC.
Yes. Okay, so a little bit of background in case you don't know.
And they might pursue WWE even if they keep UFC.
So, if you haven't heard, Disney recently purchased, or is now in the process of purchasing. The deal was made. Disney is in the process of purchasing 20th Century Fox.
Yes.
This is a huge deal, like, unlike any the entertainment industry has ever seen.
They said what the price tag is on that?
$66 billion is...
And they paid, like, what, $4 billion for Lucasfilm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
$4.5 for Lucasfilm.
So, needless to say, even before this, but needless to say now, as pointed out in this article, that Fox is very cash rich.
Yes.
At this point.
And this is a process that's going to go out over the next 18 months.
Sure.
And part of it is... So that gives Disney every other Marvel property that they don't have yet. They now will have all of it. Every Star Wars that they don't have, because they didn't have rights to the first six.
Right.
And those would revert.
Disney could do some sort of re-release kind
right,
of situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they were in a situation where Empire, Jedi, and the prequels would, like, 2025 or something, then revert over to them.
Yeah.
But... The original was there forever, was Fox.
Yeah.
Fox's property ever. Except they'll just spend $66 billion and
hopefully make that back on, like, again.
Well, and again, okay. So the Alien franchise, Avatar franchise is all going under Disney now.
Just a quick aside. Does this make it a little bit more likely that we would get, like, original, like, non-special edition of, like, the original trilogy of Star Wars? Like, release that on, like, Blu-ray or something?
I assume so. I assume that's in the works.
I'd buy the hell out of that.
I mean yes. So, like
I would take my other Blu-rays of, like, everything that's been touched one too many times by George Lucas, and I would throw it away almost.
I'll take it.
I want
every version.
I know you do.
On a shelf. But that's also one of the big things is this gathers up. This puts everything TV related,
yeah,
which is Futurama, Simpsons, Family Guy, all the Fox shows.
Really? Because I was thinking it was just movie wise, like just 20th Century Fox.
No,
okay,
it is everything Fox.
All also
except for the two things Rupert Murdoch is hanging on to is news and sports.
Right.
So he's basically keeping Fox News and FS1, FS2. Now, an interesting
including the channel Fox.
Interesting hiccup.
Okay, sorry.
So
we'll tie Disney, this back to wrestling,
yes,
I promise. But this is, I'm learning stuff right now.
Disney already owns ABC.
Yes.
Which is one of the big three. Yep. ABC, NBC, CBS. Which is three of the big five.
Yeah.
Really big four. Fox and UPNCW makes up the five. But really Fox is the only one that's competing with those. That is potentially
a breach of whatever federal status monopoly.
Right.
They basically cannot own two of these main major channels.
Okay.
Because they all own, like, they own ABC, they also own ESPN and yeah, several other cable shows.
But as far
shows,
as, like, the
same
major...
with Fox owning FS1.
The major, quote-unquote, over-the-air...
Yes, the over-the-air ones.
Channels, yeah.
So that is a potential issue, is they will not own Fox, the channel, mm-hmm, but they will own the entire library and history
they'll
of
own the,
Fox shows.
They'll own the content.
Yes. And so it would not... it would behoove them to not have the content on that channel anymore.
Right.
Or, and it is possible that they'll have some sort of leasing deal.
Right. Where they would continue existing shows.
Right.
How on that channel.
Right. Because
I guess any new shows would still be under their banner. But.
There's a lot weird, to work out. Yeah. But you can see stuff where, like, I don't know, a good example is Community.
Sure.
Was an NBC show,
yeah,
but it wasn't produced by NBC. It was produced by Sony.
Yeah.
And then NBC paid for the rights to
air
it.
There you go. There you go.
There are several examples of this. And when you are upset that your favorite show got canceled, even though it's getting great ratings, mm-hmm, there's a lot of things that fall into that where, like, it's getting great ratings, or it's getting good enough ratings.
Yeah.
Or at least better ratings than this show that is worse.
Yeah.
But and then did get renewed. But that show that got renewed might be owned by the parent company, who has a bigger investment in that getting to 100 mm-hmm episodes, being able to put into syndication.
And it's less expensive for them to keep their own in-house show,
right,
rather than something that they lease from a studio like Sony.
Right. So we don't know what is going to happen with Fox, the network.
Yeah.
But it is very possible that all of their content, all of their shows that you watch on Fox right now,
mm-hmm,
aren't their shows anymore, basically.
Right.
They would probably
still have on there as long as they continue to lease it from Disney.
Right. They could. Or they could suddenly be in a big hole of needing,
right,
content.
Then all your favorite Fox shows is over on ABC. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
but
then Fox has...
But
a lot of
to tie it
gaps,
back to,
yeah,
wrestling, they suddenly have potentially a massive amount of time to fill,
yeah,
which is why something like WWE can very much look very enticing very,
mm-hmm,
quickly. You get things like, and so Fox has this big deal with UFC right now,
yeah,
which plays into this,
yeah,
and that is apparently potentially going away,
mm-hmm,
which was news to me because I thought they were pretty close buddy buddy.
Yeah.
Because you have UFC on Fox, UFC on FS1, UFC on Fox Sports.
Yeah.
Like, you have UFC on many Fox
UFC
channels.
UFC, as far as, like, especially, like, the other tertiary Fox channels, but,
mm-hmm,
like, all those sports stuff, it is very UFC heavy,
mm-hmm,
you know? So if they lose that, you're going to have not so much Fox, but you're going to have a huge gap as far as programming on all these other channels as,
yes,
well.
Yes, absolutely. And part of it is Fox is keeping all the sports stuff, Fox News and all the sports stuff.
Yeah.
So there is a huge chunk of time to fill.
Yeah.
And so you can see why it would be very interesting to pull WWE away from Universal.
Yeah.
Put it on Fox. And it would honestly behoove them to buy it outright.
Yeah.
Especially if they have the cash to do that right now.
Sure.
Which they, you know.
They could buy WWE many times over.
Yeah.
Right now.
And so there are an insane number of moving parts.
Yes.
In this possible deal,
yeah,
right now.
But that's why, like, you know, that potential gap in programming might be why Fox still pursues this, regardless of what happens with the UFC.
Exactly.
Also, like, another note from all this, Raw would probably go back to 2 hours because a lot of those Fox stations has a 10 o'clock news.
A 10 o'clock news.
So there's that plus.
Yes.
Because it was Universal that really pushed for Raw being 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this also, so Universal has really kind of put a lot of chips into USA being the WWE network.
Mm-hmm.
They've had Raw since 2005, I think is when it came back from Spike.
Something along those lines, yeah.
We'll say that, and forgive me if it's a year or two off.
Yeah.
But 2005. So they've had it
for well over a decade.
Yeah.
They've brought SmackDown in that time, mm-hmm. not only from Sci-Fi, but they brought SmackDown from UPN and my TV station.
My TV. Which my TV, like, granted, it's a kind of a laughable station. That still technically was an over-the-air channel, and that was huge for them. And so if WWE would come, if WWE's quote-unquote flagship show were to come to over-the-air television, that would be huge for WWE.
Yes. It just, it puts it in more households.
Yes.
There's just no way around that.
Yeah.
But you have Fox, or sorry, you have Raw on USA, you have SmackDown on USA. You get occasional, and I don't know how occasional is, it's only been once so far, but they've expressed interest in NXT showing up on Wednesdays
yep.
during weeks. You have The Miz and Maryse are going to have a reality show that seems like it would fit into like the E! Franchise,
yeah.
but is apparently going to be on USA.
Yeah.
So maybe it fits more of like a Grizzly Nose.
I'm assuming E! Is probably part of
Universal. E! Is a Universal show as well.
So you've got all those reality shows that would probably be moved over with this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if Fox buys it outright.
Yeah.
On top of all that, you've got, like we already said, Fox might attempt to buy. Kind of as a side note, Viacom is possibly getting back into wrestling in some fashion. They haven't specifically said WWE or anything, but they want to get back in wrestling some mm-hmm. way.
Yeah.
I mean, there would be, there's definitely something in a New Japan America show.
Yeah.
Aside from Axis that like airs at like 1 or 2 in the morning
mm-hmm.
or something, or Ring of Honor. Cause I think they're still on Destination.
Are they?
I don't.
Do they still have a weekly?
I want to say they do.
Show
on Destination America. Was it Destination America? Was it Pop?
It was on CW for a while.
Well, it was, and then they went to the same channel that had just acquired TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And then TNA, like, well, they brought in Ring of Honor after they brought in Ring TNA, kind of as like test the waters. Then they brought in somebody that they liked more.
Yeah,
and so TNA left. I believe they're still with Destination.
Possibly. Yeah. Sure.
But again, like with all these names that are growing in the independent scene,
yeah,
Ring of Honor would be the one I would point to. Like, let Anthem have their TNA.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have
Impact. Excuse me.
when you have Viacom expressing interest, and I'll say I'm going to take that with a little bit of grain of salt. It feels like they just kind of want to throw their hat in the ring.
Sure.
They're obviously not willing to drop the money that Fox seems
if they were really interested in getting back into wrestling, they would have bought TNA.
Yeah.
But no one wants to buy them.
But it's weird that wrestling suddenly feels like the bell of the ball. Everybody wants to have a wrestling show on all of a sudden.
Because it's not exactly like cheap to produce and air. Because it doesn't seem like Raw and SmackDown is a cheap work. Like maybe like a lesser.
It's okay. It has to be cheaper than actual original programming per episode.
Yeah, I guess.
And I don't know.
And again, like if you own it outright.
Yeah. Then, yeah. And again, this also adds into, I don't know how the contracts will work out.
Right.
But like tickets sold to a live Raw performance, even, fair. You know, does Fox get a cut of that?
What if they owned it? Yeah.
Well, and like, okay. Or Fox could by owning it, could have the TV rights. And just have the show stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, there's a million different moving parts, and it feels like when each one moves, it opens up 1,000 new pathways and closes off 1,000 different pathways.
Yeah. And then, like, to kind of, like, you know, close out, like, the official discussion of this, at least if the business side of stuff, WWE wants a deal done by May.
Yes.
Any sort of change, if there is any, wouldn't take place until 2019, but they want a deal done by May, which I guess would give them a lot of, you know, time to prepare for mm-hmm. whatever. But thinking about it, like, isn't it, like, exciting but yet terrifying to think that there's a possibility Vince McMahon might not own WWE anymore?
Which, again, goes back to, like, how all-in is he on this Alpha Entertainment?
Right. Like, yeah, like.
So we've talked.
Maybe this is his out maybe. As far as, like, he'll pursue this. use the, because I'm, you know, they're going to buy out all of his shares on WWE.
Yeah.
Does he still have, would he still have like some shares?
I don't know. And
would he even be public anymore?
It gets, it gets really interesting in that, like, Vince, we've talked at length about Vince not being, not wanting to be in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
Like, he has that really famous thing that he's proud of. He brings up all the time, or like, Ted Turner says, I'm in the wrestling business. He says, well, we're in the wrong business. We're in different business because I'm in the entertainment business.
Right.
And you can see that in Vince McMahon's other endeavors with WWE Studios and with, and like, and part of it is like, okay, Vince has failed at everything that's not wrestling. XFL was one season. Linda McMahon lost twice.
Yeah. WWE Studios, I wouldn't necessarily call it a failure. They found their, they found their niche.
Find a niche, and I think they found a niche of movies that Vince loves. Like, Vince seems like the kind of guy that's like, See No Evil should win all the Oscars.
Well, I mean, they found, they found, you know, horror action type stuff.
I mean, they're clearly making profit. Now,
I mean, they had, they kind of have stopped doing like the serious stuff, like that weird like period thing that that Randy Orton was in, that was like,
oh, the stand up this is who I am thing. Yeah,
they stopped doing stuff like that, or like the serious version of The Chaperone, whatever that was called. It was the same plot, but it was serious with Triple H.
And that's the thing, is like, part of, you know, yes, it is making money clearly,
yeah,
because they keep making movies. They have a good deal with, I think, Walmart, where they're always on Walmart shelves. They're hitting the audience that they're finding, the audience they're looking for. But can you name me five studio movies off the top of your head that don't have the Marine in the title?
13 rounds or whatever the Randy Orton.
No, there's no 13 rounds. There's 12 rounds and 12 rounds too.
Well, there was the 12 rounds that Dolph was in. I think. I think
this
it was
is
Dolph.
No. This is no.
No, no, no. It was Dean Ambrose. Yeah, you're right.
This is no. We've come to the conclusion that no, because this is no longer off the top of your head. You really having to dig delve in there.
I mean, See No Evil 2 technically came out, I think.
I've given you the titles of some, and you still can't make it to five.
that's you profiting off of my lack of memory.
But my point stands.
No, you're right.
This isn't.
It's not like an overwhelming success, but it, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a failure either.
Disney isn't offering $66 billion to buy that particular movie studio.
And honestly, if Fox decides to buy WWE, I can see them just shutting down WWE Studios.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we're not in the movie business anymore. Mm-hmm. We bought all that to Disney. So if Disney wants WWE Studios, they can take that and split it off.
It's, I don't know. And part of it is like, so we talked about, like, you know, looking back over 2017, and like, there's a lot of good things to, you know, point to of like, these are some highlights of the year, but it felt like just another year of wrestling.
Yeah.
And then we're here in January, but that does not look like the way that we're headed.
Yeah.
In 2018. And again, you know, this could all amount to nothing. This could all be like, Fox is like, nah, we're only going to pay this much. And NBC is like, well, here's this. And they're back at Universal, another 5-7 year contract with Universal like that. They're, nothing's changed.
Yeah.
WWE's got to be interested.
Sure.
This is the closest.
And man, oh, I'm having just a wave of thoughts. If fans are mad now that WWE has gotten too PG, they don't have nearly the standards and practices that they've got to follow than they would if they're over the air.
See, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Really?
WWE's PG attitude is very self-imposed.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
Fox is the channel that aired Temptation Island.
I guess.
And not like the fun Fantasy Island style one.
Yeah.
Like the basically softcore porn version.
I guess, but USA is not regulated by FCC.
No, it's not.
But Fox is.
I think they're going to be,
you know,
like, right down. I mean, we're not going to have.
I mean, granted, like, I'm not seeing WWE fully go down that route.
If your complaint about the PG era is that there's not enough live sex celebrations in the ring,
then, like, you're like a decade too late. Yeah,
continue to be disappointed.
Sure,
but
I'm not going to really see a big difference between product you know, between then and now.
I don't think you are.
But them being on Fox pretty much takes away any hope that someone might have that they might return to it.
Well, I don't think so. Really? I've read that a lot, but WWE was never rated MA. They were always up to TV-14,
yeah.
Which Fox can show.
Sure. They don't have a time regulation on that?
TV-14, no.
Okay. Okay.
No, they can show TV-14 whenever they want.
But like TV-MA has to be like after
10.
10? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I thought. I knew we were taught this at some point in our media studies.
I retained
parts of it. There's some stuff that's fuzzy. it's terrifying to think, but exciting at the same time, because then you've got like Fox probably bringing in their own creative staff if they buy it flat out.
Yeah.
I'm sure they would probably have Stephanie and Triple H probably oversee everything, like be the president.
At least initially.
Yeah, at least it'll be like the president of WWE or whatever, and then Vince can go do whatever and finally can be like, I'm done. I still think that would drive Vince insane.
Oh, I think it would too.
He can lie to himself all he wants and go do this Alpha Entertainment thing, but this has been his life since I don't know when, you know?
Well,
since,
if nothing else, like, he's going to...
Since the moment he left North Carolina.
Yeah.
Essentially. This has been his life.
If nothing else, you know, Stephanie's going to be like, oh, you know, we did this on Raw. What do you think? And he'd be like, nope, that was wrong because da-da-da-da-da-da ruined him a product. I'm back.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, because honestly, you can't really... Like, there's been, like, so many times where, like, Vince apparently is rarely ever in Gorilla during SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
But you really wouldn't tell because it's done in, like, the Vince style.
Yeah.
And they know he's watching, you know?
Yeah.
That way I couldn't tell this past SmackDown that it was actually Vince and Gorilla calling the shots and not Triple H. Triple H was actually in L.A. having dinner with Ronda Rousey and her agent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you didn't hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Triple H had dinner on Tuesday with Ronda Rousey and her agent. And I'm wondering if, A, that was serious talks or something that's going to be, or B, used in, like, future storyline.
I don't know. That's interesting.
It could be either.
I mean, yeah. Now it's potential future storyline. Porque
no los dos.
Somebody heard about it, so now it's everything's potential future storyline.
Sure. And then Enzo said that Ronda Rousey will have a rude awakening when it comes to WWE. It's like, well, yeah, if she has the same experience that you have. Did you watch that Straight to the Source thing with him and...
No, I didn't.
I can't tell if he's that much of just a jag-off or if he's doing a character. I can't tell anymore.
I don't know. I think there's some...
Because, like, here's the point. Like, here's your moment where you can, like, clear the air and be like, hey, guys, I'm not that big of a jerk. Here's my perspective on everything that's happened with me. But instead, he was like, I don't care. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can't kick somebody out from... You can't kick someone out if that was somewhere he didn't want to be to begin with, which is a very stupid argument.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you can get kicked out of anywhere. Trust me. It can happen.
I mean...
Diva of the Year.
I...
Carrying over into 218. He might be a two-time winner.
We have a lot of people who disagree in this modern era of wrestling on how much you should live the gimmick.
Right.
And he might just be a guy that's like...
I think he's more of a case of a guy who's drunk his own Kool-Aid for a little bit too long. That where, like, there was a point where Ric Flair was, like, living the gimmick to just kind of, like, you know, to keep the fans in convinced.
Yeah.
And eventually it bled to, like, that's just who he is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Enzo is starting to do that.
Yeah.
Because I remember a podcast that he did with him and Cass when they were still together. I believe it was Stone Cold's podcast. And honestly, it was fun, and they were enjoyable. They seemed like nice young men who, like, really love tag team wrestling, and they're really invested in what they were doing. And I'm like, I like these guys. And, yeah, he's not that guy.
No.
Part of me is like, I don't know if this is an act or he's just believed in his own BS for too long.
I mean, it can be, you know, just an act. It can be... You know, it was an act, but he doesn't know who he is anymore and is trying to live it. It can be this is always who he's always wanted to be, and he gets to hide behind. It's just a gimmick.
Sure.
And it could be some combination of all three.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know.
He could be Robert Downey Jr.'s character from Tropic Thunder.
We should also mention before we wrap up, Paige, I believe, has been injured.
She had been injured a couple weeks ago. She had to like stretch it out and everything. Later, it was, you know, kind of brushed off as no big deal. You guys, she's going to be fine. But yeah, she hasn't had a match since. And now we're getting word that
she's not going to be in the Rumble.
She's not even going to be in the Rumble. She's not going to be out of action for terribly too long, but she won't recover in time for the Rumble.
Yeah.
On top of that, we've also got Samoa Joe, who's had an injury. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it sounded like it could potentially clear up before Rumble, but there's also a good chance that he might miss it, which would be a very big shame considering, like, I really love that promo he gave after his match this week where he kind of, like, singled out John Cena for the Rumble match.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping his injury clears up quickly.
I will say, kind of feels like Paige can't catch a break. And some of that's her own doing, but, like, I was hoping...
Like, injury stuff? Yeah. That's just bad luck.
Just to be gone for so long and come back, and she's... I guess she's been here for a while, but it feels like she just came back. Like, I think it's actually been maybe 2 months?
It was
maybe just
December.
It was early December, right? Because it was before...
Before the holidays or anything.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was before... It would have been at the week after the last SmackDown pay-per-view.
Okay.
Because I remember it was like one of those weeks where, like, all right, things are going to start happening because of Royal Rumble. And then her group showed up, and then the Riot Squad showed up the next night.
So we have this thing where she's been back for a month, and then she's out and injured again.
Half this podcast is Chris just struggling to remember things.
Half of most of our podcasts are Chris struggling to remember things.
Guys, I'm getting old.
I'm going to get you like a Sudoku book for your birthday to exercise your brain.
I'm a month away from 30. I'm so old.
Not me. I'm spry and young.
You still got what, like another year?
I'm 23.
Shut up. You're not. He's lying, everyone. He's like 29.
You don't know how old I am.
28. You're about to turn 29 this year.
You continue to not know how old I am. That's mystery. All right, you got anything else?
Numbers are jumbled together in my brain. I'm so old. No, I think that is it for me.
All right.
Austin Aries is your new Impact heavyweight champion.
Yes.
No surprise there. He's a former heavyweight champion, and that's a big surprise for them.
And that's a name. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because you say that, you know.
Although everyone that's been rumored to be leaving, like, very soon from Impact or whatever, they were there at the tapings.
Yeah.
They even had... Tyrus, Brodus Clay, come back.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was gone.
Oh, I thought he was gone too.
Yeah.
I mean, but TNA is the exact same thing as WWE Studios, where it's like you go to somebody on the street who you not even a random person, like you go to a wrestling fan and go, quick, name 5 TNA wrestlers who are currently on the product.
EC3, Tyrus, Moose, Austin Aries.
Yes.
Alberto Del Rio, or sorry, Alberto. El Patron. Is that 5?
Is he still on?
He was in like a tag team. I looked at the tapings.
Okay.
Trevor Lee. Hey, Trevor Lee. I know that guy.
But that's my point. That wasn't off the top of your head. You had to think about it.
I had to think about that one. Yeah.
So when you get a name like Austin Aries, I get putting the belt on him right away.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I can't argue if that's smart booking or not because I don't know what's going on in TNA right now. Like, I can't be like, oh, why did they get rid of da-da-da-da? Why did they bury da-da-da-da after X amount of months building him up? But I don't know any of that. I know the name Austin Aries.
Yeah.
And this will get me to be like, oh, what are they going to do with Austin Aries?
Yeah. I guess, because I was kind of doing the math in my head. I was like, yeah, I guess it's been time for him to not be on, like, any sort of television show or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, and because the big thing is, because I have seen some people complaining about, like, putting the belt on Austin Aries so quick and burying, you know, everybody else.
I literally couldn't name you who had the belt before him.
Well, my thing is, like, if you know that, you're not the target audience anymore.
Yeah.
You are apparently the end-all, be-all, die-hard, last TNA wrestling fan, survived the nuclear bomb cockroach fan who's going to stick with them no matter what.
And a very sad Jeff Jarrett.
Like... That's the thing is there's nothing,
yeah.
There is nothing they can do to shoo you away.
And yet they won't die.
They're aiming They're aiming for people who are going to go, oh, Austin Aries.
Sure.
Cool, they got him. Let me see what they do with him.
Yeah, I remember when I enjoyed TNA back in the day and Austin Aries was there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, no, I totally get the business decision of slapping that on him.
Absolutely.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays, and appropriate Sundays.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You get a new episode every single week. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. So what are the kind of things we're working on?
Including the Rumblethon. It's coming up in a couple weeks.
Rumblethon, Saturday before the Royal Rumble. We do have a Facebook event for that. So check that out. Please donate.
Yep.
For a great cause. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
For the kids.